The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to Bob Burney Live. It is the 4 o'clock hour of the program. And I am so grateful that you have chosen to spend a little bit of time with us. Well, today is an important day in the history of America. Today is the day that Pennsylvania became the second state to join the Union. Yeah, there's really interesting stuff with that, and I'll share that with you in just a moment. However, I've got some zoo tickets to give away. I do. I've got some, you know, the Wildlife Wonderland, the lights and all of that stuff, and the zoo. I've got some free tickets to give away, and I'd love for you to win them. And rather than, you know, stringing along and tease, I'll do it sometime later in the hour. Let's give away three family four packs right now to callers. Jeff, let's do... Callers 4, 5, and 6. 4, 5, and 6 right now at 877-BOB-LIVE. We're going to give away three family four packs. This gets you to the Wildlife Wonderland, the incredible lights. I don't know, you know, 16 gazillion lights. I don't know, the millions of lights. Plus entrance to the zoo. And we've got three family four packs. Three of them to give away. To callers number 4, 5, and 6 right now at 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Right now, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. I've got three family four packs, and they're gone. I knew that wouldn't take long. But if you don't tell anybody, if you keep it a secret just between you and me, we have a few more to give away a little bit later. All right? The tickets are gone. The tickets are gone. I'll let you know who here in a few minutes who actually won them. All right, Pennsylvania. I didn't know this until I got Bill Federer's American Minute. By the way, Bill is a good friend. If you're not familiar with the American Minute, it comes to your inbox in your computer free every single day. And it ties that day to something important date in American history. It's fascinating. It is absolutely fascinating. And you can go to AmericanMinute.com and subscribe. It's free. AmericanMinute.com, and every day it'll come to your inbox. All right. Pennsylvania became the second state to join the Union on December 12th, 1787. Obviously, Pennsylvania is where the Continental Congress met, where the Declaration of Independence was signed, where the Liberty Bell was rung, and so on. But the history of Pennsylvania is fascinating because of the history of William Penn. By the way, the Continental Army spent the freezing winter of 1777 at Valley Forge, which was in Pennsylvania. Constitution was written there in 1787. Most of you know this, although some may not. The United States Capitol was located in Pennsylvania from 1790 to 1800. Now, here's a little bit of the history that you may not know that I just find fascinating. Pennsylvania was originally given by King Charles II in 1682 to William Penn. In appreciation for the contributions of his father, the famous Naval Admiral Sir William Penn. William Penn Jr., the second, young William Penn, was a Quaker dissenter. He was given control of 45,000 square miles, which made him the largest non-royalty landowner in the world at that time. Now, what did William Penn do with all of this property? Well, it was his desire to create what he called a holy experiment, quote, to see if Christians of different denominations could actually live together. And let me skip past some of this. But here is what I find most fascinating about the origins of Pennsylvania. If you listen to the revisionist historians today, all white American settlers, the early settlers, were evil, cruel people who hated Native Indians and killed them and slaughtered them and so forth. And if you listen to the revisionist historians today, all Native American Indians were wonderful, peace-loving people who just loved each other, and they lived on hugs and love. Now, the early American settlers, they were evil. They were bad. Well, Pennsylvania was certainly not in that mold. When William Penn wrote in his, quote, Concessions to the Province of Pennsylvania on July 11, 1681, he said, quote, listen to this. Whatever is sold to the Indians in consideration of their furs shall be sold in the marketplace and there suffer the test, whether good or bad. If good, to pass. If not good, not to be sold for good, that the natives may not be abused. That no man shall affront or wrong any Indian. If he does, he shall incur the same penalty of the law as if he had committed it against his fellow planter. If any Indian shall abuse any planter, that he shall not be his own judge upon the Indian, he shall make his complaint to the governor, who shall take care with the king chief of the said Indian, that all reasonable satisfaction be made to the said injured planter. In other words, William Penn said Indians and settlers, he calls them planters, were to be treated exactly alike. They were to be treated equally. And he very specifically said, Indians shall not be abused in any way. He said, quote, all differences between the planters and the natives shall also be ended by 12 men, by 6 planters and 6 natives, so that we may live friendly together. The Indians shall have liberty to do all things relating to improvement of their ground and providing sustenance for their families that any of the planters shall enjoy. So, again, if your kids are in public school, they are being taught that these evil white Europeans, all of them were bad and evil. Here we have William Penn, when establishing Pennsylvania, this holy experiment, as he called it, he demanded equal rights for Indians and planters or settlers. They would be judged equally. They would be treated equally in the courts of the land. Not exactly what the kids are being taught in elementary school or junior high school or high school or even in the universities. So December 12, 1787, Pennsylvania became the second state to join the Union. Interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. Hey, I got to take a break. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. If you were listening a few minutes ago, Salvation Army in Central Ohio, today, are running over $100,000 behind where they were at this time last year. Now, we've done our part. We've exceeded our goal, but let's see if we can do more. TheWordColumbus.com, Salvation Army tab. Let's give.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome back to Bob Burney Live. My goodness, the mainline Protestant denominations in America are such a mess. And they're not getting better. They aren't. If you could jump in your time machine and go back, let's say go back 100 years, okay? Go back 100 years and get together Presbyterian leaders here in America and tell them what most Presbyterian churches today are teaching and practicing. The Presbyterians of 100 years ago would shake their heads and say, no, 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 no. No, never, 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 never. We are following in the footsteps of our spiritual ancestors, John Knox and others who gave their lives for the faith and the validity of Scripture and the inerrancy of Scripture. No, 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 that cannot be happening in our church. Get together the Lutheran leaders 100 years ago. Get in your time machine, go back 100 years and gather together American Lutheran leaders and tell them what's happening in most, not all, but in most Lutheran churches, Lutheran seminaries, most Lutheran denominations. The Lutheran leaders 100 years ago would say, no, no, that is not, no, that can't, no, it's impossible. Get together the Methodist leaders. Get in your time machine and go back 100 years and gather together the Methodist leaders in America 100 years ago and tell them what many, if not most, Methodist churches, seminaries, colleges are teaching, practicing concerning the Scriptures, concerning morality, marriage, the family. And they would say, no, 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 that no, that would never happen. Well, it has. It has. And the longer we go, the worse it gets. And of course, we all know what the results are. Every mainline Protestant denomination in America, everyone without exception, is either dead or dying and has been for at least 50 years. Possibly 60 years. I double dog dare you to give me one exception of a mainline Protestant denomination in America that has not declined every single year without exception, not one single year of exception for at least 40 years. Name me one. And what is the common denominator with all of the mainline Protestant denominations? They have all drifted farther and farther and farther to the left and have become more and more liberal. And yet, every year, most of the mainline Protestant denominations have their meetings every year. A couple of them have them every other year. But every time they meet together in their national meeting, they sit around, wring their hands, and go, well, we lost more people this year than we did last year. We have fewer churches, fewer people, less money, less impact. We're in worse shape than we were last year. What do you think we should do? And then they come up with the weirdest, bizarre answers. Promotional campaigns, publicity stunts. What was it? The Ellipsis campaign. What denomination was that? That was United Church of Christ. Was it? God Still Speaks and the Ellipsis. That was going to save the denomination. A cute publicity campaign. But in essence, every year they get together, groan and moan and wring their hands and cry, we're worse off than we were last year. What are we going to do? And somebody says, I know. Let's be more liberal than we were last year. Let's abandon more biblical principles. Let's question more of the scriptures than we did last year. Oh, that's a great idea. And so they get farther to the left, question more biblical principles, question more biblical authority, get farther away from biblical values of life, family, marriage, sexuality, gender. And then we have this. It's the reason I brought all this up. The PCUSA at the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA meeting in Portland, Oregon. And I don't know how I didn't hear about this sooner, but at the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA meeting in Portland, Oregon, Wajidi Saeed, co-founder of the Muslim Education Trust, was invited by the leadership of the PCUSA to lead the attendees in prayer to Allah. Yeah, the prayer was part of the first order of business during the meeting's opening session. Here was part of the prayer that he led these Presbyterians in. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, let us praise the Lord. Peace be upon them, and peace be upon Allah. Oh yeah, he also prayed for the bigots and the Islamophobes as well. Well, believe it or not, this is the part of the story that I find hard to believe. There were actually people at the General Assembly, or the, what is it called? Yeah, the General Assembly, that were offended that a Muslim led them in prayer to Allah. The response of the leadership of the Presbyterian Church, they apologized, not for the prayer. They didn't apologize for having this guy and a Muslim lead them in prayer. They apologized for those who were offended. Not that they did it. They didn't say it was wrong. They just says, oh, well, some of you were offended. We're sorry. Isn't that amazing? Now, obviously, we as followers of Christ are not advocating the violence towards Muslims, stoning of Muslims, persecution of Muslims. Of course not. If we're followers of Jesus, we love everybody. But Muslims and Christians do not serve the same God. Allah is not the God of Christianity. The God of Christianity is a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The God of Christianity has the Son, Jesus Christ, who died to save the world from their sins. Allah is not a triune God. Allah does not have a son who died for the sins of the world. But that is the condition of the PCUSA today.